We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, Bob Grove is into all kinds of hockey, and he is our 93.7thefan.com hockey columnist. Grover, how are you today? You there?
I'm here, Joe. I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing fantastic. Your primary takeaway from the game last night, Grover?
Well, it's a continuation of what we've seen through the first five games this season for me. The Penguins look to me kind of flat. Not much emotion in their game. Not much forecheck. They had portions of last night's game where breakouts were a big issue. And then other times when they got the breakout going and then coughed it up in the neutral zone, they didn't get the Crosby line's been pretty quiet through the first five games of the season. The goaltending was, Casey DeSmith on the first one was not a good goal. And that's obviously, it was a big, big goal of the game. So that's not a very good look. Vancouver's playing great right now, but it's not a great hockey club. It's not a hockey club that's probably going to make the playoffs. And you're at home coming off a loss, and I just thought the effort was nowhere near what they need to have going forward.
Bob, you tweeted out, and I thought, very well point out that 22 shots, 22 shots, 28 shots. Last night, 28 shots. And I think you said they didn't have three games in a row last year with that few shots. Sullivan said it's just a matter of shooting more. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I agree with them because they do need to shoot it more, but as we all know, just simply shooting it isn't going to be enough. So they got to get themselves in positions, Ron, where they're shooting from good scoring areas. So those are and I don't see them there enough right now. They're just not. So it's all well and good if you can start getting them to get pucks to the net and you're throwing very savable shots at goalies from, beyond the dots and et cetera, and get your numbers up. But that's not going to help with what they need more shots, but they need more of a forecheck and they need more puck support than they're getting right now. It's just way too many one and done when they get in the offensive zone, and they've got to get the top line's got to get going. But it's not just that, that the top line's not going. I just don't see it up and down the lineup. Like I said, right now, they just look flat to me. They have not come out of the gate, I think, like most of us imagined they would. Having the loss to the Capitals in the back of their mind from last year, having the rest that they had, et cetera, you figured they'd come out and just really get after it, and it just hasn't happened.
Grover, they lavished Jack Johnson with a big contract. What do you think of his performance so far, early returns?
Well, here's the thing. I would put his contract in perspective, Joe, to be honest with you. He's making basically the average NHL salary about right now. So, I liked his game until last night. I thought last night he wasn't very good. So I haven't had an issue with his game until last night. He's been, he went into the game leading all NHL defensemen in hits, way above his average. Which is a piece of his game he absolutely needs to bring to the Penguins, and it waned a bit in his last couple of years in Columbus. So he needed that, but I thought last night he lost some foot races. He lost some battles. There was a lot of puck battles lost by a lot of people in the lineup last night for me. So I think he's been okay, but I think for me last night was the worst game he's played.
Bob, no goals for Sid in five games, none for Rust or Hornquist either. Any of those concern you?
Well, I'm not worried about Sid. Sid is going to get. Sid's had a couple starts like this before in his career, and they will come. He missed a great opportunity in the slot last night. It's a kind of puck that he usually buries, and he waited just a tick too long to get rid of that one, and it ended up getting blocked. So he will get his goals. The odd thing about the other two guys is that I'm writing about Brian Rust on the website today, because Brian Rust for me is an interesting figure. He's a guy whose ice time has gone up every season he's been with the Penguins. His offensive production has gone up every season he's been with the Penguins. He's on the first year of a big contract. The Penguins have invested in him. And he's just an interesting figure for me because, you know, he moves around so much in the lineup. And, like, where does he really fit eventually? You know, he spends, you know, almost a third of the season starting games at Sidney Crosby's right wing. But he spends a lot of other games playing down on the third line. And he just needs to score more. And I think he has it in him. Let's remember, he didn't have a point in the Capitals series. So he's now gone 11 games in a row without a point. He's better than that. But the question I have is how much better? Like, what's the ceiling for Brian Rust? He's got 15 in this league. I think he can get 20. I don't think there's any question about it. But he's in a little, I don't know if it's a confidence thing with him right now, but he's just he's not really coming all that close at the moment. And he has the tools to score more. And the weird thing about Hornquist is he generally gets off to good starts. But, you know, now he's down on the third line, and I don't know if that's a factor. I've been a little surprised by how much line changing there has been this early in the season. There's always going to be some with Sullivan for sure, but Hornquist generally starts the season pretty well. So you're missing that production from those two guys.
93.7 The Fan hockey columnist Bob Grove on the line. Grover, I thought that Derek Brassard was coming in here to give the Penguins an unbeatable center trio right down the middle. Really, four centers down the middle. They looked okay last night, but in my mind, that's not a long-term answer, is Derek Brassard on the wing. I thought Riley Sheahan was the reason, not wanting him to play on your third line, was the reason they went to all that trouble to go get Brassard. What's up? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, I agree with you, though. I think this is an experiment that is going to be short-lived, to be honest with you. And I mean, I watched Brassard and Gensel and Sid, and the first thing is, let's remember, now this moves Gensel from one wing to the other, and I like him better. I think he looks better on the left side. So there's that. And Brassard, he's going to learn to play with two teammates he's never really played with before, and he's going to learn a new position while he's doing it. And I get it that, you know, okay, he's been playing hockey a long time. He gets what his duties are. But look, we all know it's not the same as having the actual experience. And last night, and the part for me that gets to be telling after a while is, look, you know, if you put him on the wing, he's now going to be involved in a lot more board battles for pucks, more than he would as a center. So how is he going to fare? And, you know, last night I saw him win a few, and I saw him lose a few. So I sense a creativity between those three guys, but as I've watched them in the last couple of games, I also see three guys who are sort of learning to play with each other, too. So I agree with you. I think he'll go back to being a third-line center. But let's remember this. You can talk all you want about having all these centers and having Shane down as your fourth, and you have Cullen maybe playing the left wing on that fourth line, able to step in at center. So you got all these centers, but it's not going to help your production if you don't have wingers who are going to put it in the net. And so this gets back to Hornquist, who was on the third line, what's his production has been off this year, Rust, who plays on the third line occasionally. So you can have Derek Brassard playing there as your third line center, and you can talk about your center depth, but unless he's working well and feeding guys who are putting up some points on either wing, what's the point? So I'm not sure how much longer this is going to go on.
Bob, I was disappointed in the choice of goaltenders last night. I don't think DeSmith lost the game by any stretch, but I think Muzz Murray's your number one guy, and I want to get him back in there and get him going. Would you have started Murray last night, or were you okay with the decision?
Well, here's how I feel about Ron. I'm giving him an extra game and a couple of extra days after yet another concussion. I'm good with that. I really am. I'm fine with that. So I'd be shocked if he's not playing on Thursday, because let's face it, all these issues with the Penguins, all their defensive problems, coverage mistakes, not picking up guys coming late, you know, the turnovers of pucks at their blue line and even in the defensive zone. If you think about the way the Penguins have been playing, now contrast that with how the Toronto Maple Leafs have been playing. Are you kidding me? Right now, they are the most dangerous team in the National Hockey League, and it's not even close with anybody else. These guys are flying. And so if the Penguins, this is a litmus test for the Penguins, because if they play the way they've been playing Thursday night against Toronto, the Leafs are going to put up a lot of goals. So you're going to need Matt Murray. I'd be shocked if he's not in goal.
Grover, I brought this up the other day. Kessel and Sid, why that just is not even thought about. My God, and Ron brought up Sully a few years back on stage, I guess during the finals, saying that they have zero chemistry together. They're two world-class elite offensive talents. One is purely a center. One is purely a winger. Mm-hmm. Why can't they make it work? Why is there zero chemistry? Why is that not even a thought to put Kessel on Sid's wing?
Well, hey, and here's the thing, Joe. They were barely even tried together, am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they spent very, very little time together as line mates. So I don't know how that worked out, you know, to be honest with you. But this is, hey, look, other than Hossa coming here and being plopped down on Sid's wing, and they worked great, you know, unfortunately for the Penguins, didn't have him very long. I mean, you can look at how many, you know, sort of high-profile guys. The other guy that jumps out at me is James Neal. You know, when the Penguins got James Neal, a lot of people said, well, there you go. There's a winger for Sid. But no, he's a winger for Malkin. So I don't know, but I would say that let's keep in mind one thing. And, you know, we saw Sid make a little pass to Kessel for the power play goal a couple games back. Is that we can think of all the reasons why they will work together, right? But I will also say this. I think Sid is always going to need his wingers to not only be available for passes, but to win some pucks along the board and win some puck battles. So imagine the difference between having Hornquist over there, or even Rust, who's a hard worker. He's kind of a mini version of Hornquist in some ways. Battling for pucks along the wall, right? That's not Kessel. And so those are pucks that he's not going to free up for Sid, and he's not going to create space for Sid. So I get some of it, but boy, when times are tough, you know, sometimes you wonder if it wouldn't be worth a shot just to put them together, see what happens.
Bob, you mentioned Toronto just absolutely flying. It wasn't all that long ago that I think the Penguins had the fastest team in the league. Not anymore, yep. Do they? I mean, they might be in the middle of the pack in terms of a fast lineup. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say, I'd say middle to, you know, toward the top end, but they're not at the top anymore. I mean, certainly, you know, Toronto was probably there. I think Carolina is another one that really jumps out at me. Have you seen any of their games this season?
New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's and part of the issue we're seeing this, guys, is the Penguins winning the Cup in 16. When they took that speed and some of their younger guys, you know, Sherry and Rust and all those guys, and they put them out there and said, you know, catch us if you can, and we're going to just beat you to pucks. And, you know, like every other professional league in North America, everybody in the NHL kind of took notice. Not that they, before that, didn't think speed was important. Of course they did. But the Penguins, for me, in 16, took it to a different level, and everybody's been copying, of course. And, yeah, absolutely some teams have passed them up. So the Penguins still have decent speed, but, you know, it's hurting them on the counterattacks, and it's hurting them defensively right now more than anything.
Grover, no doubt the Penguins are a deep team. I think we all agreed on that. Jim Rutherford said it might be his deepest team yet. I still worry, and I think I asked you this last week, now that memory serves. I don't think they're a very balanced team. I just wonder about the balance. I was talking with someone the other day, and it came up with the phrase, like a high-end pickup team. Like, I'll take this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, because they're the best players. Where will they fit? I don't know. We'll figure that out later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I hear you. And to me, Joe, this is where they pushed all their chips in when they made the Brassard trade, was they doubled down on, we're going to beat you by scoring more goals against you. And we're going to, you know, we have a lot of interchangeable parts and depth, and we're going to move people around. But let's be honest. Look, I got to start by saying there are more players in the NHL today than I think at any time I can remember who can move around the lineup. Centers who can play wings, wings that can play, you know, either side. And of course, you know, 20 years ago, rarely the case. So a lot of teams are moving players around. I honestly think the Penguins sometimes move people around too much. And I think it can be to their detriment, as I said. When I see Gensel and Crosby and Brassard trying to play together, there's a learning curve. I don't care how long you've been in the league, to figuring out where players are likely to go and where they are going to go, and you just have to give it a little bit of time. So if they're going to have that balance, they're going to have a scorer, and they're going to have defensive responsibility on all those lines. And I just don't, to be honest with you right now, I don't see that. So they've got a lot of stuff they've got to figure out.
Bob, before we let you go, Brian Schultz out, Justin Schultz out 4 months. How big of a loss is that for them, and do they have the depth to cover for it?
Well, they should. I mean, you know, they're eight deep now, and they were only seven deep going into the playoffs last season. If you remember, Ron only said that was an issue, that we thought it was an issue. And, you know, Riegel has been good. He's been really, he's been very good for me. So now they have they're eight deep. It's going to hurt them, though. I mean, you just don't lose a guy like that. He's responsible defensively. He's a guy who was focused on putting up more points this season. Got out of the gate great 4 points in the first three games that he played. Absolute guy who, you know, runs your second power play. And if Letang gets hurt or if Letang gets in a slump, you put him on your top power play. You barely miss a beat. I don't think he's as good as Letang there, but he's close. So they're going to miss him. And that means that everybody up and down that defensive core is just going to have to be better. Like, I didn't think Oleksiak was great last night. I talked to you about Johnson. You know, we all know Maude has been struggling. So if that has to, all those guys have just got to be way better than they've been to make up for losing Schultz.
Well, Bob, with a little news before we let you go. Broussard is back at a third-line center at practice today between Simone and Hornquist. Brian Rust moved up to right wing. Gensel back to left wing on Sid's line. So maybe the Broussard at wing experiment is going to end tomorrow night in Toronto.
Yeah, that's not surprising. And so now, as I said, the focus is on getting the guys who are playing with Broussard to start chipping in offensively. I think he's been good. So let's see if they can make that happen.
Grover, thanks for the time, man. We'll read your stuff on our website, 937thefan.com.
Thanks, guys.
See you, man. That's Bob Grove.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.